Welcome to the Philadelphia branch of Lighthouse Chapel International, under the leadership of the Presiding Bishop Dag Hayward Mill. This denomination has grown with several branches all over the world. We are delighted to come your way with the anointed Word of God, which is able to heal, deliver, and save you. Stay tuned with your heart to receive God's Word through His servant, Reverend Gilbert Fleischer.
Bless his offerings also. We thank you so much for this afternoon. Just put your hand on your heart as we come before the Lord one more time to hear his word, his holy word. We want to pray that God will speak to us, God will minister to us. There's a reason, there's a purpose for us being here. Let us pray that it shall be fulfilled in Jesus' name. We are grateful, we are thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Is the place getting a little too hot? Wow, today we have too much heat. So we'll lower it. Pastor Samuel, can you please lower it for us? Amen. All right. Is everybody out? They should come in. The choir members, they should come in. Hey. Reverend Justice is in the house. Put your hands together for him. Lucky pa. There's a secret war between me and Reverend Justice, but I shall prevail.
Amen.
All right. We are grateful to God again. You see, when I use a lot of iPads, I feel you may feel that I'm doing some show. But it's not show at all. Trust me. I've been hot before. See, I want to be flipping through two books. And sometimes you get stuck, things get frozen. So I have both up here. Amen. It's a blessing. All right. So time is really gone. That's why I change the worship. Amen. I learned from Kenneth Hagin that you have to have a purpose for every meeting. You understand? This is church service. It's not a worship night, a worship service. So you have to control things sometimes. Amen. Yeah. The reason why we've met here is also to share a little bit of the word. So we control it. The worship was nice, but we had to go on with it. All right. So let's talk about types of church workers. How many of you are enjoying it? How many of you are enjoying it? If you are not enjoying it, try and enjoy it. Amen. There are types of church workers. Let's go back to our main scripture, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 to 10. Ephesians 2, 8 to 10. Do you have it? If you have it, say, I got it. All right. So Ephesians, we have a chapel leaders meeting at 2 p.m. So we'll close on time so people can take a little break and come right back in. Amen. Okay. So Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, it says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Verse 9. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." So this is talking about salvation, isn't it? That it is by grace that we are saved. How many people here are saved? Are you sure you are saved? Ask your neighbor, are you very sure that you are saved? If you are saved, it means that when you die, you go to heaven. You're not going to die now, but when you die, you go to heaven. Amen? So it is by grace that we are saved. Isn't it? Then in verse 10 it says, "For we," so don't forget the context. The context is salvation, isn't it? Then in verse 10 it says, "For we are his workmanship." Eh? You are his workmanship. Who is he talking about? He's talking about those that by grace they are saved. He's talking about us. Tell your neighbor, he's talking about you. So he says, "We are," in other words, you are. Eh? we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, when by grace we are saved through faith. In the process of God saving us, he says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, isn't it? For what purpose? Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Everybody say good works. Lift up your right hand and say, I have been created. Say, I am the workmanship. I have been crafted. God has made me. And what has he made me for? Ask yourself, what has he made me for? It says, unto good works. Unto good works. So, ladies and gentlemen, in case you still haven't caught it yet, I want you to know that God created you for a purpose. You were born again. Christ delivered you. Christ translated you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God for a reason. He translated you so you will also be a workman. He created you. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He's a new creature. God created you unto good works. Amen. And the interesting thing about these good works is that it says these works were ordained that we should walk in them. So they were like preset, pathways that God had ordained that as he's creating you, you have to walk in them. Hallelujah. That is why it's very important that you find what God wants you to do. Amen. You need to find what God wants you to do. And I'm telling you that one of the pathways to finding what God wants you to do is to just offer yourself for service in the house of God. For in serving, you will find your real calling. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So everybody is a worker in the house of God. So when we talk about the types of church workers, don't think that, oh, I am not a worker. You are a worker. Yeah, everybody is a worker. Yeah, everybody, any Christian, born again Christian, every Christian is supposed to be a worker. There is something that God wants you to do. Are you understanding? I said, are you understanding? God created you, Harry. God created Moses. God created you, Kofi. God created you unto a certain work. And you need to do it. You got to do it. I said, you got to do it. I said, you got to do it. You got to do it. You got to find what it is and do it and flow with it. Somebody shout hallelujah. All right. So we are looking at the types of church workers, the types, the different kinds of church workers. Amen. The first one we look at was a church worker who works as a son. Yes. Who works as a son. Church workers who work as a son or a daughter. They work as daughters or sons in the house of God. Yeah. Now, it's a very good attitude and a heart and a kind of a heart to have to work like a son or a daughter. Because when you work like a son or a daughter, it makes you stable. It makes you endure many things. And it makes you not just stop working. Are you understanding? Yeah. Because listen, I'm sure a lot of you know already that working in the house of God sometimes comes with challenges. Yeah. But when you have a son's attitude, a son's heart, a son working or a daughter working with a father or a mother, you will not easily just move away from it. Hallelujah. What was the second kind of church worker we looked at? Who remembers? Oh, nobody remembers? We read from Philemon, isn't it? Philemon. A kind of church worker who works as though they owe themselves to the house. Amen. Now, when you work like somebody who owes themselves to what you are working for, it also makes you a very kind, very special kind of church worker. Yeah, you work without boundaries. Amen. Recently, when I went to Ghana and when I was coming back at the Philly airport, I don't know, this guy was trying to interrogate me so much. He asked me all kinds of questions. He looked at my passport. He said, you're a doctor? I said, yes. Then he said, where have you been? I said, I'm coming from Ghana. Why? I said, that's where my family is, and I went to visit. Then he looked at me and said, did you ever work with Doctors Without Borders? As you are coming in. And I could see how he was thinking. Because now Doctors Without Borders are suspicious, isn't it? They feel that they hide ISIS and ISIL and, you know, those, you know, bad company. They keep them and work with them. But that's not where I'm coming from. Amen. I'm saying that when you are a son or a daughter in the house, you work without borders. And if you are also a worker in the house who works as though you owe yourself to what you are working for, you also work without borders. Yeah. Nothing can destroy you. Nothing can move you away. Nothing can take you away. Because as you are even trying to owe, as you are trying to even more, you feel like, no, I owe myself to this. Amen. That is my heart towards my bishop. That is my heart towards this ministry. In times of challenges, and challenges do come, I always feel that I owe myself to this. Yeah, because in fact, I had no idea what ministry was. I had no idea serving God was. I had no idea what working for Jesus. I didn't know what even working for Jesus was. But it was through bishop. He held my hand and led me into ministry. And in fact, a lot of things that God has used me for, it's not like I even set out to even do them. Unintentionally and unconsciously, just by following a father and working with him, has led me into what I find myself in. Amen. And that's the more reason why I'm going to still follow him. Amen. I feel I owe myself to. You see, there's a certain kind of feeling that you have that makes you stay on and thrive, and you don't want to move away easily when you have that feeling of I owe. Yeah. Yeah. Some of us, we push things aside because there's never that, you see, it's a feeling of obligation. I'm obliged. Do you see? There's no feeling of obligation. So you are quick to throw things away. But when you relate to things with that obligation that I owe myself to this, I owe myself to making this work, I owe myself to making this work well and it is succeeding, you see that your attitude, you see. So that's why it's a kind of a church worker. Yes, a kind of a church worker. A kind of a church worker. A kind of a Christian in the house of God who feels the owe. Yeah. And we must be obliged. Isn't it? Yeah. I look at Reverend Jazz and I can see that attitude in him. He owes himself. Yeah, I don't want to tell you his history, but you know, it's just one or two things. Yeah. When he came to the church as a student who you didn't know whether he was a Christian or an unbeliever. Yeah, that day as he walked down, I was preaching about fornication. Say, hey, what kind of church is this that they are preaching about fornication? Ask your neighbor that, do you know fornication? So he came back again. And hey, I was preaching about fornication. And I'm sure I said fornication, because whenever I'm preaching for fornication, I say it in French, whether it's proper French or not, I don't know, but I say fornication. They say, what kind of church is this? They say, oh no, this church, I'll stay and listen. So he was there. And I'm telling you, even as he was, I didn't even notice him. See, that's why I also said a lot of things that God has used me for. It's not like I purposely did it. I'm going to do this. No. Just following. Just doing what I've been told to do, just being led. Yeah. Through that, he became a serious Christian. Look at him today, a reverend minister. Mercy. Who travels to Ghana and goes to hold international conventions with manifestations, praying for people. In fact, God is going to put your hands together for the Lord. Why will he not feel like he owes himself? Yeah. So even in times of crisis, in times of a challenge, in times of you not even feeling right about something, just the fact that you owe yourself, you will not. Yeah. Yeah. I remember the day they were trying to call people to ordain them, and I said, hey, my Reverend Jesse, I said, Jesse, he also has to be ordained. Put his name inside. Argue a little, put include him. He said, son in the house. Are you understanding? So all yourself, see, and some of us, we owe ourselves so much to the Lord. Yeah, look at your life the way it is. If it had not been for the Lord, hey, I said, if it had not been for the Lord, some of us today would be drug addicts. Yeah, some of us would have been womanizers. Probably by now you have children in every other village in Ghana. You don't have village in this in Kwanda, so then you move, and then have Kwanda, so it's a village in Ghana. Then you have another village in this one, another child in this one, then another child in this one, and then another child in this one. The day you die, we will not even be, we'll be surprised at the people who come for your funeral and say, well, this is my daddy, this is my father. Had it been not for the Lord, you owe yourself. So is it too much that it is required of you to serve the Lord? That is why the Bible says that we should present ourselves as living sacrifices. Eh? And it calls it a reasonable service. Your reasonable, not unreasonable service, but reasonable service. Deserving service. It's a service that you need to render to the Lord because you owe yourself to Him. You see, the reason why you can't comprehend this, and when you see people working in the house of God and doing so many things in the house, you can't see yourself. How can I be doing this? How can I be doing this? How can I be doing this? We say we're having chapel leaders meeting right after from 2 to 3:30 or 3 p.m. It's like it's too much. It can never be too much because you owe yourself to the Lord. Wow. I said, wow. I said, wow. Lift up your right hand and say, I'm born again. Say, I am a child of God. Say, I'm His workmanship, created unto good works, and I owe myself to the Lord. Say, I have a reasonable service, not an unreasonable service, but it is reasonable to serve the Lord, even when it is cold, even when it is hot, even when it's not convenient, even when it is difficult, even when it is challenging, even when it is hard, even when things are not working well, I need to keep serving the Lord. Come on, lift up your right hand and give the Lord a shout and a clap offering. Wow. I said, wow. It is good to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. I said, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Wow. I'm excited about the word of God. I said, I'm excited about the word of God. Amen. Now, let me tell you about another kind of a church worker. I'll just introduce it. Time is gone, but I just want to introduce it. All right? So there's another kind of a church worker, a worker who has the same spirit as the church or the ministry or the leadership of the ministry. Now, whenever we say this, people get confused. You see, because then you keep wondering, you keep asking yourself that how many Holy Spirits are there? How many Holy Spirits are there? Is it just one Holy Spirit or two Holy Spirit or three Holy Spirit or four Holy Spirit or five Holy Spirit or six Holy Spirit? Because you are seeing the same spirit of the house. Are you trying to tell me that there's a different spirit in Goodly God International? There's a different spirit in Lighthouse Chapel International. There's a different spirit in the Catholic Church. There's a different spirit. No. There's something also known as the same spirit. All right. Let's turn our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. All right. So it says here that I desired Titus, okay, and with him I sent a brother. Then he asks a question. So this Apostle Paul, isn't it? By the Spirit of God teaching us here, isn't it? Bible says that all scripture is inspired of God, is given by the inspiration of God. So this is a Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost declaration. God speaking to us. Turn to your neighbor and say, the Bible is God speaking to you. And then say to yourself, the Bible is God speaking to me. Yeah, you must learn to read the Bible yourself and be convinced that it is God speaking to you. Amen. It is not just what the pastor is saying. The pastor is just reading the Bible to you, but it is God speaking to you. Amen. You must be an honorable person. The Bible calls the Christians in Berea, isn't it? It said they were more honorable because what? They afterwards searched the scriptures to find out if what it was, whatever was being told them is true. Amen. These days, Christians don't like Bible study. Are you here? I said, are you here? Christians don't like Bible studies. You must look at the Bible. That's why people are easily taught, led astray and lied to and confused by so-called prophet. Today, Prophet Distance said this to me. Today, Prophet Distance said to me. What does the Bible say? Amen. Bible even tells us to judge prophecies. Everything. The Bible should be your standard. Open it yourself. If you can't see, get glasses. Okay, or get by a Bible with large print and look at the scriptures and read it and learn upon. Never take anything, including myself, that anybody tells you without cross-checking it. Read it yourself, study it yourself, and you'll be amazed. Amen. So here, God is speaking to us. He's speaking to me and he's speaking to you. And he says, I desire Titus, and with him I sent a brother. All right? Then he asks a question. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps? So not the word here, the same spirit. So he's asking, did Titus, when Titus came to you, did he take advantage of you? Did he try to make merchandise of the ministry, or try to make gain from you in any way? Yeah, that's one of the ways to judge real pastors or real ministers of God. The spirit, the anointing should never be sold. Yeah. Any person who tells you, bring this money and I'll do this for you, bring this money and I'll pray for you, bring this money and I'll... It should never be like that. So he's saying here that Titus actually operated in the same spirit. Somebody say the same spirit.
The same spirit.
So there is something known as the same spirit. Amen. And I'll show you further that there's a certain spirit, all right, which is still the spirit of God upon every ministry. It's so peculiar, so specific. Yeah. One day I was watching T.D. Jakes. I get to watch him every now and then. I've been watching for a while. But I was watching him and I realized that all the people around him had the same haircut. Yes.
Same spirit.
Same haircut. And they all carry themselves in the T.D. Jakes posture. I don't believe they were imitating him. Do you see? Yeah. Those of you who have had the opportunity or so to be in different churches, you realize that every church you go to, things are done differently. You see, things are done a little different from other places, all right? Now, let me explain it a little further. Now, when at a time in Israel, okay, Moses was their general overseer, okay? It got to a time that Moses had a problem. When I called Moses, there's a sister here who is smiling because her name rhymes with somebody that she loves dearly. So it got to a time that, are you listening? I'm ending. That Brother Moses could not handle the people because the work was too much. You see, and it started affecting him. So guess what God decided to do? God decided to multiply the effort of Brother Moses. Okay. And how did he do it? Let's turn to Numbers chapter 11, verse 17. Numbers chapter 11, verse 17. I'll end with that verse. And then next week, I'll show you a little more what it means to actually operate in the same spirit. All right? Like was said of Titus, that walked he not in the same spirit? Everybody say same spirit.
Same spirit.
So God decided to watch this carefully. Watch this carefully. If you didn't get anything said so far, go home with this one. All right, because it will make you come back next week to get the rest of it. God did not at that point say, look, I will pour my spirit on 70 people so that they can do the work. Look at what God did. He said, I will come down. When you get a chance, read the whole of the chapter. This is God who said, I will come down and talk with thee there. And I will take of the Holy Ghost. Huh? Did you see that? Are you looking in your Bible? It says, I will come down and talk with thee there. And I will take of the Holy Spirit. Oh, some people are not watching. Are you reading? What did he say? He said, I will take of the Spirit which is upon thee. Wow. There was a certain spirit upon Moses that made him operate in Moses' ministry. There's a certain spirit upon Bishop Dr. Edward Mills that operates in Lighthouse Chapel International. There's a certain spirit that operates on Bishop T.D. Jakes that makes him operate in his ministry. There's a certain spirit that rests upon Rick Joyner that makes him operate in Morningstar Ministries. There's a certain spirit that is upon a man of God which operates in his ministry. Is it of the Holy Spirit? Yes. It is of the Holy Spirit. I said it's of the Holy Spirit. It's of the Holy Spirit. That is why the Bible says there are diversities of administration. Somebody said diversities of administration. But what? It's of the same Spirit. So when God wants unity, God wants certain things to be done. Can you imagine? I'm not sure whether it's every child that takes two offerings. I'm not too sure whether it's every child that takes three offerings. Amen. I'm not sure whether it's every church that lay ministry is so much emphasized. We are all lay people. Reverend Jesse, do you not work? Are you not a pharmacist? Do you not go to work Monday through Friday? And sometimes weekends. But you are still a pastor. Do you get paid in a church? Pastor Samuel, are you not a computer guru? IT specialist? In some ways. Do you not go to work? Do you not go to work? Do you get paid? You get paid, but you get paid in church? Does the church give you allowance? Oh, come on, they must have been giving you some transport allowance. They don't give you food allowance. Are you so blessed? I said, are you so blessed? I said, are you so blessed? I am blessed to be a pastor in this church. I said, I'm blessed to be a pastor. In fact, I'm so blessed, and I feel that it is not that I feel. I know, and I know, and I know that it is because of even the pastoral way that God blesses me in the secular. Because he wants me to be able to do what I'm doing without any problems. Amen. That is why one of the ways the devil attacks lay ministers is to attack your job. Because when he attacks your job, then you become crippled. You can't do what you're doing. Amen. So there is the same spirit. And when wherever you are, you need to catch that same spirit. You see, that's why we describe a type of church worker who has the same spirit. Yes. You can't be a lighthouse person, church member, with a spirit of lighthouse and go and operate in Rick Joyner's Morningstar as it's different. Because once you get there, you realize that the emphasis, the philosophy, the different things about the church or that ministry is also different. Wow. But it's the same spirit. Different administrations, but the same spirit. Amen. That is why the only way you can work effectively and do well in a particular place where you are is to actually catch the spirit of that ministry. Wow. Is it becoming clearer?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. I don't know if there's anybody here who has worked at McDonald's and also worked at Wendy's and also worked at, what's the other place? Burger King and Chick-fil-A. Yesterday after we left, I said to my wife, I want some chicken nuggets. I like chicken nuggets. I like eating with rice. I feel hungry now, man. I feel hungry, man. I feel hungry. I'm going to make myself some chicken nuggets and rice. Put some red gravy on it. And a little pepper. A little shito. And when you top it up with fried plantain, man, you are close to the heavens. Yeah. But listen, as I walked in there, she said, why don't you do drive through? I said, no, I want to walk in and pick. I like to see my food being saved. So I go in and I pick it up. There was a long line, queue. Yes, busy. Saturday evening, everybody was. And next door was Burger King. And Burger King was empty. I saw only one car. I didn't see any soul inside. Next door, I mean, in Williamson where I live, Chick-fil-A is. And Chick-fil-A, Burger King used to be there many, many years before Chick-fil-A. Then I said to her, look, you can see the covenant working. Yeah, because Chick-fil-A, the owner is a Christian. They operate Christian principles. They don't even open on Sundays. Because Sundays, you have to go to church. My son, Timothy, in college now, tried even working there. If you want to work, it's a laborious process. You'll be interviewed. They want, you know, notes from your pastor. What church you go? Yeah. 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 They are totally Christian. If you want extra food with Chick-fil-A, do you know what to do? Just go just before they close. They never throw food away. Yeah. If you're one of the last customers before they close, they will give you, if the sandwich is there, whatever, they'll ask you, oh, can we give you extra? They'll give you, they never throw food away. Burger King will throw food away. Burger King will throw food away. And McDonald's will throw food away. Chick-fil-A never throws food away. Yeah. Have you ever heard of Chick-fil-A or Burger King or McDonald's serving free food maybe to storm victims, and like there's a storm somewhere, people don't have food. You see them, they'll be on the streets with bags and they'll give food to everyone. Christian. Yeah, Christians. Why would they not be blessed? Coming back to what I'm saying, you can't work in those, you can't go from Chick-fil-A to McDonald's and try to fry the fries. It's still potatoes, isn't it? But you can't fry the way you can't fry their chicken. There's a difference. By salt chicken. Different administrative strategies. But all works. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So next week, I will share with you what it actually means to work, to be a church worker with the same spirit. Are you going to come and listen to it? Yes. All right, God bless you. Put your hands together for the Lord. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Amen. All right. Let us bow down our heads in prayer as we close. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you are here today and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you that opportunity. You want to say, Pastor, pray for me. Pastor, pray for me. I want to give my life to Christ. If you are here and you need Jesus, man, he can heal you. He will deliver you. He will lift your life up from nothing to something. He will lift your life up from zero to something. It doesn't matter how low down you are in the valley. God can bring you up to the mountains. Maybe you are here, you want to say that, Pastor, I need Jesus. I need a feel and touch of Jesus. Just lift up your hand and I'll pray with you. Anybody like that here? Anybody here? All right, let's all pray this prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. Thank you for paying the price of what I would have rather suffered. You loved me whilst I was so far away from God, and you gave your life for me. I receive to you today. I receive all the sacrifices that you made for me today. Thank you for taking my place. That you became poor, that I should become rich. You became poor, that I might be rich. You became sin, that I might become righteous. And you became sick that I might be made well. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you are my Savior, my Lord, and my King. In Jesus' name, amen. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you are sick in any part of your body, I want you to place your hand wherever it is. It's a place you cannot touch. Put your hand on your heart. If you don't have any pain, ache, or sick anywhere, put your hand on your heart and receive this prayer. It will help you. It will bring health, if not healing, to your body. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you paid the price for even our sicknesses. For by the stripes on your body, we were made whole. If we were made whole, then we are whole today. So in Jesus' name, I speak forth health to everybody in this place, including myself, from the very top of our heads to the soles of our feet. Thank you for healing. Thank you for your healing. Thank you for your touch this afternoon. Your touch that is unmaking every illness, every disease, even spots of disease that are waiting somewhere along the line for us to be told that we are sick. Thank you, oh God, that is all being crushed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you that we are healed. Thank you that it is our portion, it is our covenant, and we embrace it and we receive it in Jesus' name. And if you believe it, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together.